Christina had died hard. Her dress was torn across the shoulder, revealing her breasts, and her skirt was around her waist, her thighs showing the bruises and the other dark evidence of how she'd been used. Christy stooped and pulled down the thin gingham material, covering the woman's nakedness. She then took a cloth off the table and laid it over the woman's chest and head. Her face was severely bruised, blood clotted around her mouth and nose. More blood seeped from both ears, indicative of an injury to the head. Both her wrists were badly broken. Her left eye was swollen shut, the other staring blankly up at the low ceiling of the kitchen. A crimsoned knife lay in the corner of the room, its tip snapped off.
She did some damage. There's far more blood around than came from her. She wasn't stabbed.
JB bent and reached under the towel.
Looks like someone in heavy combat boots kicked in the back of her head after the...
You reckon she killed some of those Navajo?
Likely. There's a trail of blood into the other room, soaked into the floor. Then it's smeared like someone was dragged away.
Jack had said nothing since they entered the charnel house. He stood by the stove, idly brushing crumbs from its black iron top. His face was totally without emotion, drained of all life.
Jenny?
I doubt she'll be too far away.
Is it beyond the bounds of possibility that young Michael might have escaped with her?
Nobody answered. It was all too obvious that the killers had been in the home for some time, with the leisure to take their pleasure with the helpless woman. Michael's brother had to be dead.
How come they left the way they did? They didn't break anything or start a fire or steal food. They just butchered some stock.
They saw us coming.
No, Dean, they didn't. When we first spotted the riders, they were well off the spread. It's like something interrupted them.
Michael?
Maybe.
Then where is he? He must be somewhere close by. He'd have seen us ride in.
Find Jenny's body.
The search didn't take long.
Oh, shit!
Jack himself found the pathetic bundle of crimson rags lying at the base of the wall of the feed barn. At about the height of a man's shoulders, there was a dark patch on the wooden planks. Splinters of bone gleamed like metal in the late afternoon sun. Jack stooped over it, his head bowed, saying nothing. The rest of the friends stood in a half circle.
Bastards! Little girl like that!
Jack put his hands beneath his daughter and lifted her up, tenderly arranging the sodden blanket around her.
Didn't have to do that, did they?
Jack walked. They followed him slowly back into the house, into the cool, airy living room, where he sat down on the long sofa, still cradling the little corpse on his lap.
Jack? There are things to be done for Christina and Jenny. Will you let Mildred and me help you?
Why not? Won't make any difference. Not now. Should have been here.
Ryan, you want to look around outside?
We can wait here. No hurry. What's done's done.
John, go outside and take some time. We have things to do in here. With Jack.
Oh, yeah. Sure, Millie.
They went out onto the porch. Doc and Dean sat quietly together on the swing seat, both deeply shocked by the unexpected horror of their return to the spread. Ryan walked out into the crimson light of the sun to join JB.
Something not right?
Whatever is. I'll tell you what, though. If it was those Navajo, I don't believe they'd have just up and ridden away like that. Not with the rest of the horses and stock still here. They'd take it all.
They could have had someone on watch who saw us coming back.
Don't think so. We would have seen him breaking to join the others. The timing's all wrong on this one, Ryan.
Want to take a look around?
Sure.
They moved out in opposite directions, working their way toward the edge of the spread. It only took a couple of minutes to start finding tracks that told a very different story. Ryan and JB stood together near the main gate, looking down at the soft, churned-up earth.
Unshod ponies. That'll be the band of horsemen we saw.
Sure. But their trail's on top of whoever came to the spread earlier. Likely the ones that did the killings and butchered the animals.
Then the Navajo came along and interrupted them, and they vanished, while we were still working our way down the canyon out of sight of here.
Two wags, broad tires. Looked to me like the marks of something like the old LAV-25s. Designed to carry a crew of three, but they could easily be adapted to carry a dozen or more.
Definitely two, JB?
For sure. See here? They overlap.
There were clear marks of two wags, looking like the eight-wheeler light armored vehicles that JB had suggested. Ryan straightened and stared around.
Two wags come in. Christina sees trouble, but for some reason it's too late for her to do anything. Maybe she was cooking and didn't hear them.
They chill the baby, rape and chill Christina, start slaughtering some of the stock to take along for food supplies, and then someone spots the horsemen coming. They would have been visible a ways off. Then everybody leaves, and we arrive. Not the way you read it?
I guess so. That leaves one question without an answer.
Yeah, where's Michael?
The only answer was that the teenager was gone. They both knew that there was no point in undertaking a close search of the spread and all the outbuildings. There were only three possibilities, and one of those wasn't all that likely. It only took Ryan and JB about 20 minutes to confirm that there were only two corpses there, Christina and the little girl. A glance into each of the barns showed no sign of life.
Could have taken him prisoner.
Don't reckon that, Ryan. Apart from the tracks of the wags, there's plenty of combat boot marks around the place. Looks to me like the Navajo simply rode on by without dismounting or even hesitating. No other sign of bare feet or moccasins anywhere.
So, we agree that he might have seen danger coming. Realized he was way outmatched and took a runner. Maybe hiding in the hills.
JB looked down at his own feet, considering what Ryan had said.
Way I see it, there's only one thing wrong with that third option. By now, he'd have seen us and come out to join us. He hasn't, so where the Dark Knight is he?
I suppose that there's just an outside chance that he could have taken one of the horses and gone off after the killers, before the Indians got here. Shit, I don't know. He's got to be someplace.
When they returned from their wreck, the evening sun was almost gone. The shadows of the house and the barn stretched out, stark and black against the pale earth, reaching their way toward the foothills to the east of the property. Mildred, Christy, and Jack had finished washing and laying out the bodies. They now rested together in the big double bed, covered with a faded patchwork quilt. Christina's hair had been washed and brushed, and it fanned out across her shoulders. Jack had insisted that she should be dressed in her favorite nightdress.
What's a grand's? Goes back almost to long winters.
It was bleached cotton, with a high scalloped neck, embroidered around the bodice with posies of tiny flowers. Her face had been cleared of the blood and the smudge of flour, but nothing could be done about the bruising on her cheek and close to her eyes. Jenny lay in her arms. Jack had found a lace bonnet that concealed the soft, dark dent in the tiny skull. Her eyes were closed, her cheeks and hair clean, as if she'd just come from her evening bath. Ryan thought that it looked like the baby could have woken up at any moment, demanding a feeding. Christy pulled the curtains halfway across the windows that faced south, leaving the bedroom in a muted, dusky light, like a cavern beneath the ocean. Everyone stood in a circle around the bed, nobody quite knowing what to say.
What next?
Jack turned to face Doc. The sun was a deep crimson, and it burned into the veil of his white hair, making it look like a fall of living fire.
Next, Doc? Next we bury him. Tomorrow, dawn. In the canyon where we were today. After that, we go after the killers. Then we chill them all. Next after that, I don't know.
The bedroom had become still again. The evening breeze tugged at the curtains.
It's best we go out now and leave them here together, Jack.
Sure. It's getting dark. Light the lamps. Also, cook supper. I'm bad at details. Christina's so good. No. She was so good at things. I don't know how.
For the first time, Jack seemed on the edge of tears and wiped angrily at his eyes, turning on his heel and leaving the bedroom and the two corpses. The rest of them followed him out, Ryan last, closing the inner door gently behind him. Mildred and J.B. cooked some eggs and beans with a mess of pan-fried potatoes, though it turned out that nobody felt all that hungry.
I'll do the washing up.
I'll give a hand. Something to do. Put pot on for coffee as well.
Ryan pushed his chair back from the dining table and decided on impulse to check the bedroom, where Jack had lit two brass oil lamps, turning both of the wicks down to leave a faint golden glow.
You going out back?
Nah, J.B. Just sort of felt like looking in on them. Maybe sit a while.
Think I might join you in a while, lover. I'll just get these supper things tidied away first.
As Ryan stepped into the room, he saw a dim shape, making him reach instantly for the holstered Sig Sauer.
Michael?
Ryan's first instinctive reaction was to think that the teenager was dead. With his good eye adjusting to the darkness, Ryan saw that the young man was alive, his broad shoulders moving in time, with slow, regular breathing.
Michael!
Ryan? Who are you talking to?
The figure on the floor by the bed still hadn't stirred or made a sound, causing Ryan to wonder if he was asleep. Jack walked softly into the room. Ryan turned to look at him, the yellowish light illuminating his narrow, lean face.
Dead Michael?
Yeah, it is. He must have come in through the door at the back.
You all right?
I can't tell. He hasn't said a thing. He's just kneeling there. Michael, where you been?
Finally, Michael's white face angled toward them. His eyes were black pits in an ivory mask.
Been in the barn.
The barn? Which one?
Big one.
Hayloft?
Jack moved a couple of steps closer to Michael. Ryan joined him.
Yeah. Under the hay.
Are you injured? You shot or anything?
No.
Who was that?
The rest of the companions suddenly filled the doorway to the bedroom.
Is that young Michael that I see there?
Yeah. Michael, get up and come in the other room so we can talk properly.
No. Stay here.
Ryan laid a hand on the young man's shoulder.
You can't stay in here, Michael.
That's all I want, Ryan.
Mildred joined Ryan by the side of the teenager.
It would be better if you come out. Have something to eat and drink. You must be hungry and thirsty.
No.
You're not thirsty? We have some well water in a crystal pitcher on the table there, frosted and cold. How long has it been since you've had anything to drink?
Morning. No, it was lunch. I had some apple juice, bread and cheese.
You'd been working in the barn, hadn't you? That's what you said when we left.
Yeah. I went back after a meal.
And you were there when it all happened?
Oh!
Suddenly, Michael levered himself upright by his hands on the bed, standing and looking straight at the friends, with something that lay halfway between fear and defiance. Jack moved too fast for anyone to stop him, grabbing Michael by the throat like a terrier with a rat. Michael normally had the heightened combat reflexes to stop anyone, even someone as lightning quick as Jack Lauren. But it was all too obvious that things weren't normal.
What the fuck happened?
Jack's fingers were tightening, and Michael's face was suffused with blood, his eyes wide, his mouth sagging open. But he never even lifted a hand to try to protect himself.
Let him go, Jack. Let him go right now, or I'll have to make you.
He knows it all!
Jack relaxed his grip a fraction.
He knows it all, and he'll tell it all.
Not if you throttle him, Jack. Just let him go, and we can all go into the parlor. Michael can have a good long drink of cool water. Then we can sit down and let him quietly tell us what went down here.
All right, Mildred.
Jack let go so suddenly that Michael stumbled and would have fallen if it hadn't been for Mildred's steadying hand.
Good, Mildred.
J.B. had drawn a knife, ready to stop Jack from killing Michael, but now he was able to sheathe it again. Ryan was last out of the bedroom. He slowly eased the door shut, glancing behind him at the two figures lying motionless on the bed.
Not all the way, Ryan. Leave it a bit open.
Michael quickly drained the glass of water, wordlessly holding it out for a refill, finishing that one off nearly as quickly.
One another.
You might puke. Shock of cold water on an empty stomach. Wait a few minutes. Let that settle.
The room fell silent. Jack was sitting by a small side table with Mildred between J.B. and Doc on the faded brocade sofa. Dean was on the floor, his back against the wall, to the right of the long window. Christy had one of the deep, comfortable armchairs, her legs crossed. Ryan was next to her, leaning forward, his chin in his hands. Michael was in the last of the big chairs, sitting slumped, his head down, staring at the pattern on the rug.
Come on. We know some of what happened. Don't know who or why or when. Don't know lots, Michael. You can tell.
Yeah, I can tell. All right.
Then let's hear it, Michael. From the start.